Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 351. Sorry, it's not the same day, Pat.
No.
No, no, you're going to have to come up with something else. Sorry.
That's all right.
So, it's the day after Christmas and all through the house. Spencer was sneaking.
And Colin got a toaster.
I got a toaster. With advanced toasting technology. I can't wait to open the manual and see exactly what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
And how much you're not going to use them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's advanced toasting technology because I'm sure really things haven't changed, you know. I mean, they've changed a lot since these, you know, since the last version of toasters.
I mean, you've been toasting for decades. There's
laser settings, and it monitors the exact crispiness. I don't know. I'll let you all know on that.
I was hoping it would be something like that. Like, it, you know, gets the toast perfect.
That would be awesome.
Not too white, not too dark.
Yep.
Perfect. Yep. Maybe it, like, automatically senses what kind of bread you put in
could
there.
Could be.
So, like, if you put rye bread in there, it's completely different. Than
right,
if it's like
right.
White.
Yeah, like a bagel. It's got the little wider slots, so you can get the thicker bread. So I'm very excited about it. I did not open it up yet. I was, you know, busy.
Oh, and
I had no toast needs yesterday, so...
You can probably, like, toast, like, 15 pieces of bread at the same
time. No, that's crazy, Spencer. That would be nigh impossible.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
That's what we're drawing.
That would be a
line.
Ginormous toaster that I would not have room for.
I always wondered on the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving why they had so many toasters in that house when they're making toast.
That was not the question I was wondering in that whole thing.
Well.
I have a real problem with that whole peppermint patty thing.
Well,
just
yeah.
inviting yourself over and then getting pissed off because of the menu.
Of course, yeah.
Well, that's what Peppermint Patty would do.
And not only did she invite herself, she invited Marcy and Franklin, too.
Mm-hmm.
At least they could have done a show up with, like, some sides.
I always wanted Charlie Brown to go up to yell at Peppermint Patty and say, I'm a 10-year-old kid. I can hardly make toast. I can't cook a Thanksgiving dinner.
When Chuck snaps, it's going to be in a clock tower somewhere.
You got me chewing on your cookie. You can't.
Sorry.
Can't leave me hanging like that, man.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa. I thought this was a family podcast. No.
Yeah.
No, Pat was nice enough and brought cookies, and I was in the middle of enjoying one.
Which.
While you guys were discussing your.
My problem.
Charlie Brown Christmas issues.
No, it's Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving issues.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of other issues about the whole Charlie Brown Christmas thing.
I figured it was a safe time to take a bite.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
No real news. Most of the publishers were closed. I don't remember any news whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Although I wasn't really paying attention. You know, I think we all had other things going on.
Yeah, probably.
So,
you know,
I know. Dave gets a pass.
The busiest work night of the year on Monday for him.
Yeah.
So, does that make me? Am I Santa as well?
You were.
I was Santa.
You were, yeah.
Okay, I'm retired now.
Right.
You really let yourself go in retirement, Santa. Jeez.
Santa Emeritus or something.
There you go. Okay.
Let's recast Santa. Tim Allen.
We'll get back to Nick. He's got a little complicated one. Ty says, who would win in a game of hide-and-seek? Ant-Man or the Flash?
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But Flash could vibrate so quick you couldn't see him.
But it's like...
That's not really hiding.
Okay, there you go. You have it, Ant-Man.
Because he can just... Because Flash is always going to have to constantly be doing something. He'll eventually get tired. Ant-Man can just shrink and just sit there.
Would the Flash be able to get into... To see into the microverse or the quantum realm or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, they're against each other?
If they were trying to find each other. Okay, I didn't think about that
that's
one. I just thought that's what I was thinking. Okay.
I figured like they were both hiding and we had to find them.
Okay.
What I was thinking.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
They're both hiding, and Daredevil has to find
them. Well, then you think Daredevil might be able to hear the vibration.
Yeah, with Flash, but he wouldn't necessarily be able, as long as
he's
like a T-Rex. As long as you don't move, you wouldn't know.
This does sound like a 2019 event, though. I didn't see.
They'd have to change it though to Quicksilver, but yeah.
That's how they finally get the crossover to happen again. A game of hide and seek.
Oh, man. We're writing this for them. We're doing all their work.
Yeah, I know.
You know what, though? It's no worse than any of the crap they come up with, so it's okay.
Speaking of which, Michael asks, was the Infinity Warps mashup series worth it? Did it infuse something fresh and new that customers are asking for? To be honest, I don't think anybody here read it.
I know.
I wasn't reading any of that.
I was half tempted to read the Spider-Man Moon Knight.
Yes.
That was the only one that I was half tempted to read, and then I was just like, no. I'm not spending my money on this.
Yeah, unfortunately, they burned me too many times on stuff like this to her.
So I'm going to say that...
Maybe I'll pick it up when it's on the half-off rack in a trade.
Yeah.
The general feeling is, I don't think it was worth it. Okay, Lauren asks, I'm rereading Camelot 3000 from DC Comics back in the early 80s, written by Mike W. Barr and illustrated by Brian Boland. I remember the hype about this series, but I guess it wasn't a big seller. Did DC have bigger plans for this series, continuing the series or spinoffs? I don't think so. I think it was always designed as a 12-issue series. I read it when it came out, and I don't know if I've ever read it since. I do have the hardcover at home, but because I do remember enjoying it and thinking it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I also know it got very late at the end. I don't know if that was art or writer, but I remember they had a lot of trouble with it at the end coming out. But I'm pretty sure that was always planned as a 12-issue maxi series.
I think so. I remember when it came out, they really pushed it as something really special.
Yeah. And it was neat. The basic idea about it is all the knights and everybody have died, but basically King Arthur is there to protect the realm against any invaders, and Earth is being invaded by aliens. So all of the knights are reborn. One of the interesting things is one of them is born as like this huge mutated creature, and I think it was Lancelot was reborn as a woman, and that really messed with his head.
This sounds familiar, but I know I haven't read it.
Okay, it was really good, but yeah, I don't think it was ever intended to be continued or anything.
That sounds like something you kind of like a contained kind of story.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering if maybe it tied into the Justice League 3000.
No. Okay, and then Brandon asked, "What are our favorite books that came out in 2018?" I'd have to say pretty much Mr. Miracle. It's probably one of my favorite book that came out year long. It didn't start in 2018, but Doomsday Clock, every issue I think has gotten better, and I very much look forward to that coming out. I think Tom King has been solid on Batman, even with all the ups and downs of the wedding this summer.
Yeah, but there was no surprise like Batman Elmer Fudd books this
No, there wasn't that blow you away. But Snagglepuss, that was last year, and that was not blow you away, but solid.
It was solid, yeah. I gotta tell you, at the end there, it got dark.
Yeah. But it was funny, I'm right now ordering his Wonder Twins, and he's also got Red Sonja. I'm like, Wonder Twins I see, Red Sonja, I don't know about.
I'm looking forward to Wonder Twins, but... Yeah, I don't know about Red Sonja.
Those are mine. I don't want to dominate.
Yeah, I agree with the call on Mr. Miracle. That's the one book that I really think has been just consistently great beginning to end.
I haven't read that yet. I'm waiting for the trade to come out. But guys made it seem like, you know, I'm looking forward to checking it out. You guys have been hyping it up pretty good.
It's going to stink being able to read it all at once, though, because... It was so
the anticipation.
It was so odd that when you got to the end and you were like, what happened? And waiting to figure out what was going to happen in the next one.
Well, and that's, you know, how some books just read better as trades.
Yeah.
I actually think this will read better as issues for the simple fact that nothing really happens for the 12 issues. So, you know, if you're reading it back to back to back, it's kind of like, okay, you know, it's good, but...
Maybe I'll read, like, an issue, put it aside for, like, a couple days, read an issue, put it aside for a couple days.
Yeah, I would...
Savor it a little bit.
I would recommend that.
But, I've been liking The Flash for the most part. Ninja Turtles has been really well. Nothing, like, surprising. I can't, like, you know, they might not, you know, somebody might not have heard of or anything like that. But just a lot of, like, the kind of standards, I guess, have been pretty, been holding up to, you know, what they should be.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, did The Punisher Platoon come out this year? It might have been 2017, but that was really good, too. I think it was this year.
How's the new series been?
It's okay. It's, you know, I don't know if they'll ever go back to a Max series now that Disney owns them.
But,
yeah. But, although...
See you, Chris. Have a good one.
Punisher the Platoon was certainly in that vein. But, yeah, I don't foresee them doing anything like, you know... I'm assuming you've read the Max stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I've read the Max
stuff. Like,
the
Slavers.
Yeah.
Or Barracuda. I don't see them going that extreme, but I think it's missing by not doing that. Dave?
Colin mentioned Snagglepuss. I have to say that was probably the best thing I read this year that finished up. But I'll mention another one, the Ahoy books.
Mm-hmm.
Been great.
Well, Hoyle's been a very surprising publisher.
Yeah, and I'll single out The Wrong Earth. I love The Wrong Earth.
Which looked hokey.
It could have been so hokey, but it's offering really something new to these old archetype characters, and it's just excellently done. It's a great book. And it's only at the fourth issue or so. But it is really good.
Okay, then.
No Archie?
Nah, I wouldn't put an Archie title in that echelon now. Especially since who knows if even... I don't think an issue of Sabrina even came out this year.
No.
Or, I mean...
No, we
Afterlife with Archie goes without saying. It's not coming out.
Stuff canceled.
Okay, and Nick asks, this might be something maybe we'll come back to next week, so keep it in your head. Just, you get to pick a comic team, Justice League, Avengers, X-Men, etc., and it's five members for a series done by a writer and artist of your choosing. So I don't know if that's something we want to pick off the top of our head or mull over for a little bit.
The only thing, I could do the team, like, I'd probably be, like, Justice League, but the actual members, creative team, I need a little time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have the core members, but if you look at, like, when Grant Morrison was doing the JLA, and they kind of brought in the B-team members, that can be interesting.
See, that was my first thought, was having Morrison do, like, a Justice League Dark book with Constantine and Swamp Thing, Detective Chimp,
Zatanna,
and then
Fate.
Maybe Dr. Fate in this
Dead
one.
Man.
Yeah, Ooh, but I think something like him and with an artist, something like a Sorrentino, you know, somebody with a little dark, scratchy, not pretty art, I think would be interesting. So that would be mine, with Morrison having some fun with that.
See, I'd like to see, like, a Tom King, Mitch Gerrards type deal. Justice League, but use the lineup from the cartoon series, which, you know, John Stewart, Martian Manhunter, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. Because there's a lot of conflict in there, and the one thing that those guys do really well is the interpersonal stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it could be really interesting.
I'd read a Justice League International by Mark Russell. With Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, the other members on there. Guy Gardner.
But he's got to have the Pete Rose haircut.
Yes, yes. If they could bring all this in, who's on, Mr. Miracle was on, was there, and Oberon, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but those are five there.
Who do you want to do it?
Mark Russell.
Oh, yes,
and,
I'm sorry. I blanked out for a second.
And if I could have Kevin McGuire.
I was trying to think. I was trying to think of my own.
Hate to live in the past, but yeah. I like Kevin McGuire back on Justice League International.
All right. I said Justice League, but do something different. I'll go X-Men. I'll pick an X-Men team. I'll go Colossus, Nightwing, Nightcrawler, Gambit, Wolverine, and I guess I should probably go like a Jean Grey. You gotta have some kind of like psychic in there. You need that power set. Maybe, yeah, we'll go with Jean Grey.
Straight up 90s X-Men.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did like the cartoon was good there for a long time. And George Capullo art.
Greg Capullo.
Greg Capullo art. And I'm trying to think of somebody who hasn't done an X-Men run that I think could do a good job. Go with Robert Venditti. I think he could probably do something with that.
Yeah. That's it. Or maybe just have Rick Remender come back and do X-Force again. I'd be happy with that, too.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Actually, I think it was the first thing Colin ever recommended to me.
Which?
Remender's run on Uncanny X-Force.
Oh, that was excellent.
Yeah.
With Phantom X and that great... Oh, who's the artist on that? I distinctly remember his whites.
Yeah.
That I thought was fantastic. The way it was like almost on dark paper and then added the whites to it. And that was the only time I've ever really enjoyed Deadpool.
Was it the same guy who did the Secret War book? Like that? It's like No.
I know who you're saying. No, it wasn't. I don't think it was. I'll check when somebody goes. But that was really good. That was really different. That made me really appreciate Phantomax.
Yeah.
Deadpool being a usable character instead of just a joke. That was really good. Oh man, yeah, and it had the four horsemen, the drummer guy. Oh man, that was good.
The whole thing was good with Evan.
Yeah, but what was really weird with that is I love the prior one from Yost and I forget who the other writer was, but Clayton Crane was doing the art.
Craig Cow.
Yeah.
And that had X-23 and everything in it. That was an outstanding run. I was really bummed that they ended that to add in, to start the new one, but that new one was so good. So.
And then it's just been downhill since there. Hasn't been a really good X-Men.
But that's, yeah, I mean, that was the last X-Men book for me. It was really...
Hey, Matt?
Can't miss.
Is somebody standing by the counter?
Yeah. Yeah, it
who
didn't,
was the artist on the Remender's
kill me
X-Force run?
Reading the
Should
X-Men,
right around the, right around
but side. Battle of the Atom did.
Yeah.
But that was, just an excellent run. It's...
Oh, Asad Ribic.
Okay.
So that might have been, he did do Secret War. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, so it was the same guy.
Way to go, Spencer. Yeah. But that... I wouldn't say no to that either.
Okay.
Everybody went. That's just went twice.
No, cool. So that's all the questions we had.
That's a
podcast. Oh, wait. There were lots of good books like we. You know what? Dave.
We'll start
with Dave.
Because I want to talk about Claws and the Crying Snowman.
And they're doing their annual one shot. How was that? Uh-oh.
I did not like that too much.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was incredible.
So the whole thing where he was the dad and he died and became a snowman, that was Jack Frost. Like, I just didn't like that. They called him Sam, you know, like from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah,
like,
snowman.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. The Goat King, who was Krampus but wasn't Krampus.
Well, he's the Santa Claus from Scandinavia, I believe.
Okay, I thought it was supposed to be Krampus.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, then I was wrong on that.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
That almost would have made more sense, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't the best one that they've done. It wasn't horrible. I don't want to say it was bad. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't. My standard is much higher with that book than almost.
I thought it reached those standards. I really loved it. I thought it was like it could have been a 7-issue miniseries, but it was distilled into 40 pages.
No,
and there was so much going on.
And you're right. There was a lot going on, but I don't know that I could have hung in for 7 issues with this.
Well, I'm just saying, there's enough material there to probably do that, but I love how it's distilled down, and it's still, in the end, it was a story, this big Ragnarok theme going, and it was still a story about redemption and a father and son story, and the big events don't really end on those kind of notes, on those personal notes, and I really like that aspect of it.
And you know, that's fair enough. To me, I thought they'd done better. The art was really nice. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, with Grant Morrison, it's always sometimes challenging to read. And you got to go back and reread parts to make it make sense. But,
Are you leaving? Abandoning us?
He has at the stapler line.
Tim's leaving. I know some days he does, but fine.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Nobody brought him beer, that's why.
Yeah.
No, bring him beer and he'll stay later.
Yeah.
So.
I haven't got around to reading that. Is it just one mini series and then the one shots that they've been doing? Is that all?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how many, if there was like one or two mini series to that.
There's one. The first was a mini series, and then there's been, I think this was the third one shot.
Yeah.
But I just love, he's building a whole, like, Santa Claus superhero universe here.
So he's been following you around.
With the history. Yes, he has been. He has been. I mean, I don't want to tell him the ending. But,
well, we all know what happens at the ending of your story.
But I'm just hoping, because they keep talking about the Lunar Civil War, and I'm hoping we get that story.
Yeah.
Sometime in
which
the
I always thought it was Santa Claus versus the Martians, not Santa Claus versus the Moon People, but that's fine.
Right.
It seems like though it kind of almost sucks though with getting so little of it, you know, yearly.
No, actually, I think that works well.
I think it works.
It's something you look forward to, like, oh, we're getting another Claus coming out in December.
I think it's good this way. Have it come out in Christmas. Doesn't wear out its welcome in the summer months or in the spring.
Have to get around to checking it out.
But
didn't we look into doing that one time for the book club?
I'm waiting for it to come out in a paperback. The problem is it's a $25 hardcover.
Okay.
Yeah. Next, High Heaven, number 4.
I didn't love the first one of that, and I really haven't trying to keep up.
This issue starts with kind of a flashback to, it's like the Council of Heaven or something like that. I don't know if they gave it a proper name, but they call it the Council. And they're talking about how hell is overflowing with people and they need the bar is too high for people to enter heaven. So they have to lower the bar a little bit so they lower the bar and they mark 1 billion people on Earth into heaven, but into this the heaven that they deserve, which is this lower heaven.
Okay.
That our, you know, quote unquote hero David is in right now. They talk about this. The concept is El Meat, which I really don't like that term. That's the only thing I don't like about this book. But that's like the force that allows these people who don't deserve to go to heaven to go to this lower heaven. And we also in this issue we also get our first glimpse of hell, as David's friend Ben has been sent to hell, and it's kind of, and he's having fun down there. It's kind of a naked orgy down in hell. And it ends with Michael, the archangel, turning on St. Peter because he doesn't like the way he's running heaven. And he's going to help David escape from heaven. It's fantastic.
Okay,
I love the book.
Good.
Black Badge, number 4. I've really been enjoying this series too. This is the
Boy Scouts, the undercover operatives.
The undercover operative Boy Scouts. They're on this island. They're at the Rainbow Badge Jamboree, on the coast, somewhere on Oahu, Hawaii, and the 4 scout troops are competing against each other. They're left on different places around the island. And they have to get to the top of this dormant volcano. And they're airlifted supplies, but not enough for everybody. So first come, first served. And they're allowed to do anything but hurt each other.
Okay.
And the Black Badge troop faces off against the Blue Badges, who are kind of the surveillance experts. And the Blue Badges tell them there's another competing group called the Honor Society who are working against all the badges to destabilize the world. And I'm really engaged in this book to see where it goes. And he's really building a good backstory and history of these badges, these different badge groups and what they're up to and mysteries and such. It's an excellent book. Lastly, I'll talk about Darth Vader.
Okay, that was the last issue.
Number 25. Last issue of the series, last issue of the Fortress Vader arc. Well, he's finished building his fortress on Mustafar. And this is kind of a different issue. He opens up this portal so he can go. Vader kind of goes on a spiritual walkabout because he wants to bring Padme back to life. So he kind of goes through. He sees himself as the young kid on Tatooine. Pardon me. In the Phantom Menace. And fighting with Ahsoka Tano, and fighting the dead Jedi. He fights the dead Jedi, Mace Windu, and Yoda. And there's a big spoiler in this book from The Phantom Menace.
Okay. So if you haven't seen The Phantom Menace
if you haven't seen a 20-year-old movie. Well, as Vader's on his walkabout, he finds out who his father is, who impregnated Shmi Skywalker, which turned out to be Darth Sidious, the Emperor, used the Force to impregnate Shmi Skywalker. Now, you could say that's not canon. And Vader just saw this for some reason in his dream, but apparently that might be real. But it was a different kind of issue. Art was really nice by Kevin Coley. But an interesting way to end the series. And I'll stop there.
Okay, Pat.
Pat.
Okay. Batman 61.
Read.
Yep.
You read that one. So this goes back to the fake Bruce Wayne kid from, I think it was like Batman number 38 or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they saw.
And this kid is super messed up.
Yes.
He killed his parents, but he wants to be Bruce Wayne in the worst way. Even has Thomas and Martha, like, scratched into his face using a razor or something like that. And he looks a lot like Bruce Wayne did as a kid. So it makes it, like, there's parts where it's like, is this what happened? Or is this just in the kid's head? Especially the part where he went to jail and slashed one of the guy's throats. And it looks like we find out that it wasn't that guy, who I guess was supposed to be Joe Chill. It was actually his current roommate, or his cellmate, because he's in juvenile detention. And decision is made to send him to Arkham.
Because, could go wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. But it was good.
Yeah, I just remember being confused through most of it.
So. Yeah, yeah. And the other one I read was Vampironica. Did you read that, Dave?
Yeah, I read it a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Really?
Cause I think I got it. I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
He may have, I don't remember what happened with that one.
Okay.
If it was damages, or maybe he got cover B and it took a while for cover A to come in.
I got cover B, yeah.
Okay.
That's what it
was. Been doing that lately where they've been really botching.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was the last issue, which I didn't realize it was supposed to be a miniseries.
Yeah, I didn't either.
However, I'm glad that they ended it rather than pulling a Sabrina over in Afterlife with Archie, and after six issues, we're just done with it. But, you know, Veronica goes through the house, and she keeps having different hallucinations about, like, in one, her father had paid Archie and everyone else to be friends with her. There's another one where Betty is marrying Archie, and Veronica is supposed to be the maid of honor. And then in the third one, which I thought was the best one, where she actually kills the head vampire, it's supposed to be her laying in the coffin, and she's like, well, I know this isn't real because I would never wear this. And then she stabs it. So it was like, you know, the perfect Veronica thing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fine. I mean, it was very much in the vein of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just they use Veronica instead of Betty. But it was fine.
It was fine. I liked all the kids going in the pool. The pool is full of holy water.
Right.
So, pardon me. Because all the vampire at Cheryl Blossom's party, all the vampires are there. So,
right, that was the way to save themselves. Was, Dilton blessed the pool and holy water.
Yeah, yeah, it was fine. I agree with you. Nothing more than that. I think.
Yeah. So. Spencer.
Pressure's on.
I'll go with the.
But you got to bring it home. You're bad and clean up.
The final issue of Extermination.
I read that.
Which,
Oh, you might not get the bat clean up.
No, I still have three to go.
Which, I mean, if you take all the weird shipping aspects out of, like, how...
mean that the follow-up ship before issue five? Sure.
And then Uncanny, you know, still... If you take all that out, the story itself wasn't bad. I think it was it might have been kind of a easy way to kind of fix the whole young X-Men problem, but I'm kind of happy that they're kind of gone now. And I mean,
how did they fix it?
Yeah.
Cable sent them back in time.
Kid Cable. Which, don't call him that.
Yeah, he doesn't like that. And then, like, at... Like, he sent them back in time right before Beast showed up. to take them. So
shouldn't have been right after?
No, it was right before, so that they got into like the same positions and everything as when it happened. So when Beast showed up back up, it created the circle and completed the circuit. And then all their memories went into the older versions. I know, it didn't make a ton of sense, but...
Right, but if they... Okay. It would have made more sense that they show up right after.
Well, this way they were able to forget everything. Okay. So that as young versions of themselves, they didn't have the knowledge of the future going forward. And all, but then the elder ones had... I don't know, man. It's time travel. But basically...
And not good time travel.
No, Ahab was from the future, and he was attacking them, but they ended up destroying his ship. And so Ahab was was trapped in our time, and Cable is going to have to deal with him.
Okay.
And then...
young Cyclops is not dead.
Well, no. Young Cyclops, right.
Yeah, it was Mimic.
Right.
Who got
killed in the last issue, yeah. And then it turns out at the end, dun, 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 Cyclops is alive.
Oh, my.
And it's like hanging out with Kid Cable.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be more like, oh, my?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sure, why not?
Whatever it takes to try to get these X-Men books back on track, I'm okay.
Give us
with
the team that everybody wants. Yes.
Which is the one Spencer was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Then let's see. We'll go with. Did anybody read Justice League?
Mm-mm. Nope.
It's right there under Extermination, next in the pile.
It's a.
Oh, maybe a couple under. I was going to try to finish the event.
I mean, it's the beginning of the new story arc. You get a lot of the back history on like Hawkgirl, and I think it's a good like kind of palate cleanser from having the big mini event crossover with Aquaman and stuff. Though I am still a little confused. They show Batman in the first couple pages, and it doesn't look like he's in his robot suit anymore.
Well, he's healed up by now.
I guess. I didn't know if maybe him getting turned into a fish. Because did he eventually get turned into a fish, or was he one of the ones that eventually...
I don't recall.
I don't know if getting turned into the fish and then coming back, if that would, you know, automatically...
The fish oils
would
cured
yeah.
him. Okay.
Yeah. They say that stuff's good for
they
you.
They do.
So, but like I said, it's just kind of like they're trying to unwrap, you know, a new mystery with, because Hawkgirl's wings have, like, is it interacting with the metal weird, or like there's a message in her wing, so but it's kind of cool because you got Hawkgirl, Martian Manhunter, and Jon Stewart. They're kind of like, you know, what the story focuses on, which you didn't really get to see too much in the last story arc, so you get to, you know, get with them a little bit more, and then they still show a little bit of Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman messing around with Starman, but it's kind of like in the beginning and the end of the book. But I think it's a good starting, you know, for the next story arc. And I think this one's the only first to be like a 3 or 4 part like story. I don't think it's first to be that long. Amazing Spider-Man. This is a
Spider-Gate.
No, that's what that was, yeah.
Okay. I read that one, too.
This is once Jonah and Spider-Man finally arrive to what they think is a, like, a party stone in Jonah's honor. It ends up being, you know, a typical kind of death trap, but it starts out
as... It's a trap!
It's a trap! That it kind of...
Let's be honest. That's the crossover we all want to see.
Oh, yeah.
But, So it starts out, though, kind of like as, this is your... Yeah, what was that, like, this was your life of, like, Jonah? And it shows whenever, from being young, working his way as a reporter, Dave Bueger, and, you know, how he was, you know, speaking the truth and... You know, going against the man by proving how, you know, terrible Spider-Man was for years and years, just praising him. And then how recently he has, you know, he switched sides. He thought, you know, because he's friends with Spider-Man now and talking about how the great hero that he is and how he's lying and stuff like now. And it's cool because they show as, like, when they're talking about how Spider-Man was a menace, they kept on showing all the old, like, Spider-Slayer outfits and just everything that Jane has done throughout the years to try to take out Spider-Man. And that's, you have the Scorpion, since Jameson pretty much created him there, and him and Spider-Man get into a tussle until the end of the book and concludes with this really... He called himself, like, the Big Man. I don't know if that's his actual name. He looks kind of familiar. I think he's, like, one of those old, like...
The Big Man was an old, like, he had, like, a cowboy hat and stuff.
Well, he had a mask over his face,
yep,
but he had,
yep,
like, the old kind of, like, mobster,
yep,
kind of,
yep,
hat.
Yep, that's old, early.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so he like, breaks down the roof and stuff and is, like, reaching for Spider-Man. So that's kind of where the issue ends, but... Another good run issue in the beginning of this Spider-Man run. And then the last book I will talk about is the newest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is more of a kind of like a holiday special. It's like issue 89 in the series, but they kind of take this just have a one-off like holiday story because some in the previous storyline that just ended, a lot of major kind of, like, there was a death of a main character that happened, and so they kind of, I think, to go light, and with the hob being, you know, in December, it was the Scrooge story with Splinter falls asleep, and he has a dream about the ghost of Shredder, you know, shows up and tells him about how, because he's running the Foot Clan now, and he's really at odd with, you know, with the Turtles and how, you know, you have a ghost of the past, you know, present and what could be, and there are all these different characters from throughout the series. It was a real nice, just one-off story with using these characters to tell a clear, you know, clearly the Scrooge story, and it ends with, you know, Splinter gathering up all the Turtles and their friends and stuff back to the Foot Clan lair, and Splinter dresses up as Santa Claus and is handing out presents to kids. It is just kind of like a nice, fun issue. Yeah, that looks like him. Like I said, just,
Spider-Man 10.
That is old. But just another good... Just like I said, one-off issue, and it seems like, you know, you're starting the next story arc with there. They're slowly rolling towards 100 issues for this series, which I wouldn't have never thought whenever I first started reading this series that they'd be hitting 100 issues.
How much did the original series go up to? I have to look that up. Not to put you on the spot, but just wondering.
I think it was like the mid-50s.
Okay.
And then a lot of that was filled in with other, like, artists and writers that they knew. I think they've only done that initial one. I think they only done, like, half the issues, because that was, you know, the cartoons and the movies and
yeah,
all that stuff
yeah.
was going on that they had to start overseeing as well, you know. But yeah, I think the first series ran for, like, 50 or 60 issues. The longest, until this series, I do believe the longest running was the old Archie from the cartoons version, I think was I think that might have been
yeah.
the longest running
yeah.
series until this current one. And they've done, with all the other mini series and micro series they've done, they're well over 100,
yeah.
but
yeah.
anybody who's been a fan, who's ever been a fan of Turtles, I would say, suggest trying to get into this book from the beginning. It's just a really cool.
Yeah.
Cool Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Not many series get up to 89 right now.
Especially, I mean, I know it's licensed, but kind of creator owned, or I don't know how you would.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, a big two book, so.
Right.
And they've had crossover with, like, the Ghostbusters and different things like that, so
yeah.
they've had a lot of fun with the series, and you can tell the people involved, because even Eastman is involved in a lot of them. He do covers and helps with, like, I think he kind of helps plot the series and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can tell that they really enjoy the material and the lore of this franchise.
Yeah, they had the Batman crossovers, too.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah, those were good.
And no, they had the Batman, but then they also had the cartoon and animated series crossover, too.
Those ones were not as good.
No, but still, I like them. But definitely, yeah, not as good as those other crossovers were. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Aquaman 43. Nobody read Aquaman. Kelly Sue DeConnick taking on the character after the dramatic effects of Drowned Earth. Dun dun dun.
Joss isn't here.
Yep. Sorry. Dun dun dun. Movie, but in Red Buck.
Dun dun dun. Okay. So basically, he's washed up on the shore. Nobody knows who he is. He doesn't know who he is. All they know is his name starts with A because of his belt buckle. So I forget what they call him, but it's not Arthur. I forget the name, but they just
Archie.
Okay. But they just started calling him something. But the sea is really angry. It keeps lashing out. There's this woman there who's, I don't know if she's like a priestess or something, but she's like always dancing at the shore and stuff. And then they keep talking about this other character, and it's really setting up a lot of things. It's very, very interesting. But with him not knowing who he is, not realizing what's going on. So it was very interesting. Just a neat way to do a clean, I don't want to say reboot, but letting Kelly Sue come in fresh. So that was kind of neat. I did enjoy that, though. Freedom Fighters number one. I've been a Freedom Fighters fan from the 70s. I
flipped through it. It looked interesting.
Yeah, it was good. Basically, it's Earth X, and it's the one where the Nazis won World War II.
I thought World War II was still going on.
Maybe, but I think in this new version, they won.
Okay.
In the old one, it may still have been going on, and they were fighting on the side. But I remember getting that. Somebody just bought it today, and I saw it, and it was great. It was that great cover, that first one with Phantom Lady and the Human Bomb and Doll Man and Uncle Sam.
Okay.
Just really neat, the Condor. Just characters, they were the old Charleston characters that when they bought them, this is how they used them. And I thought it was really well done. So this one happened where the Nazis did win, and they eradicated all the metahumans. They killed, there was a big execution on screen of Human Bomb and Doll Man and the Condor. And it set, you know, certain, all the superpower people were gone. And things got really, really bad. And then all of a sudden, they're back. Now in present day, and Human Bomb is back. So, yay, the heroes have returned. But it was really good. I really enjoyed that. Then the last one was an interesting one. This is an Image one. It's called Hardcore. And basically the idea is they've developed a technology where they can shoot you with like a tranquilizer dart, but it's not tranquilizer dart, but that gives you the image. And it sends this stuff into your bloodstream, and it lets them then take you over. And they can use you as a drone. So if they want you to go in and murder somebody, the guy can literally be inside your body. And in the first story, they're doing this to take out this guy, but the problem is the guy that they're in is this big fat guy, and the guy's having trouble fighting with him, controlling him, because he's so slow and sluggish and things like that. So that was interesting, and he had to get out just in time. Like, it ended up with him jumping out of a window, and then he had to get out of the body just as the guy woke up, splat. Well, but it turns out there was somebody this guy was talking to on the phone, like, used to be part of this and got kicked out. Well, apparently he was really mad about that. So he sends in this plant lady who's supposedly from the Defense Department, but isn't. And as this guy is in doing his thing, she shoots him. And it just at the last minute, he hits something that, like, locks down the special thing that the guy's in. But he only has 72 hours now to figure out and stop this guy. And he's going to have to do it through other people. So it was interesting. Mm. It was interesting. So that's all I read. Christmas is a tough time. Dave knows. Why am I telling Dave? So I just didn't get a lot read. It was busy. The order's due tomorrow. So I've been working on that. That was fun. I did that. I started working on that yesterday. Nothing says Christmas like 5 hours of data entry while watching Luther. So, new Christmas tradition.
Is it the new Luther that was out?
No, I wanted to rewatch leading up to the new one. So this was season one, which I forgot just how good it was. So that's what I was doing yesterday. Yay! But so yeah, the previews order is due as soon as you hear this. If there's anything in the December previews, let me know. Book club is Friday. It's Krampus. Sadly, I'm out of the copies, out of the books. But if you got it, please come and talk about it. We'll have fun. We always do. That's about it. I'm doing the big year-end clearance sale. I'm doing all the back issues are 80% off for one more week. The trades on the half-off shelf, I decided instead of just boxing them up and putting them in the basement, let's try to move them. So they're $5 a piece. Spencer had some fun with that today.
It looks like you sorted these. Empty spaces.
That's good. I'm also doing, since there are so few new comics this week, I'm doing 20% off all new comics other than this week's new books. And also not stuffing your folder because I don't want to promote procrastination. So, but come pick up your books in the folder. I had a lot of trouble. It wasn't a lot to put away today, but that file cabinet is full.
Start making phone calls.
We're going to start doing emails tomorrow, actually.
And then start busting kneecaps.
Yes. Well, yeah, I got Jimmy two times going to come help me.
Gonna have to get the big man.
Yes, there we go. And the ox. Ox was his muscle. I remembered ox. I couldn't remember big man. So that's pretty much what's going on here. As always, you can find me at the store, PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is PGH Comics. Last week of the year, fun times. Next week, I do want to talk a little more about what came out this year. I'm going to figure out and see if I can figure out how to run a best of list out of Comic Hub to see what my top sellers were for the year, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and you guys think about, you know, a little more on the books you really liked this last year, storylines. Not saying give it a little more thought, but more than on the spot questions.
Well, yeah, because I have
all. Nobody has a lot to read from this week. Even if you read everything that came out, you wouldn't have a lot to read. So we'll talk about that. I'll talk about my plans for 2019 because I do have a lot of plans. I've titled 2019 Rebirth for me.
Yeah, it's taking those plans and turning them into action.
I will do. Because this year was such chaos for me personally. I found that the store really was just on cruise control. It was running.
But that makes sense.
It was running, it was operating, but I really didn't do anything. And so I definitely want to do something this year. Like, you know, the books by the window, those came in the summer, or at least the fall, you know, and I haven't touched them. So it's things are going to, I don't want to say things are going to change. No, but I'm going to try to do things better and be best. But I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. I got my plans all written down and stuff, but I'm looking forward to 2018 or 2019. I'm more looking forward to 2018 than being in the rearview mirror. 2018 sucked. 2019, yay. So
for now.
I'm just trying to, you know, I don't want to hope to get too high. And then
they just couldn't. I can't say it can't be as bad as 2018, but it would have to go to great lengths to do that.
What are we on the opposite? Yeah, you did not have a major catastrophe with the storm 2018.
No, that is correct. 2017, I had the two. We had the flood and the car crash. You are correct.
The Aquaman sale, Juggernaut sale.
Yes, I did have the plywood covering the front of the store for the first half of the year. That did not get fixed till late June.
Nothing can stop the Juggernaut. Do you know who I am?
Well, apparently Adam did.
That's true.
So that's it. Maybe we'll see if we can get Adam back here. I think he works Wednesdays, which is part of the reason he's not here. Not that he, just because he hates us.
It's part of it.
But yeah. So I think that's all we got. That's all we got for 2018. Thanks for shopping here. Thanks for keeping me open. Thanks for listening. Still baffled when people come and say, "Oh, I was listening to the podcast." I'm like,
do you really see how many people really do listen?
No, the thing doesn't give me, like, easy numbers. Like, it would be great if it said this was downloaded 285 times. No, that would be far too easy. It gives really complicated, like, this week. It's not, yeah, it's not even, I've looked at the report and it's not, that's all I want, but it doesn't give it to me. So, unless I'm doing something wrong, but I've looked at it.
Maybe I'm sure there has to be a way to do it.
Maybe. I just remember looking at it and it, like, showed how many times a week a podcast was downloaded from the site, not an individual podcast. So okay. That's what I mean. It's
but
it's
you
not
have to assume it's 90% of it's going
right,
to be the
right,
line.
But yeah, it just the report was not useful that I could figure out.
Some people probably like to listen to our classic episodes.
They do. Some people go back. Yes, our classic episodes, Pittsburgh Comic Classic. Well,
which
we're not.
One was that?
We didn't do one this week, so here's one from the vault. This was podcast number 8 with Scott Snyder.
So if we find the way they come off, would we reprint the old stories in like the classics?
Pittsburgh Comics Essentials.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
The essential would be just shutting it off.
Oh, that hurts, Pat. That hurts.
Hey, I've been here more than I have, and so
true. So, Pat.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next year. Oh, see ya.